Hey, I'm Kelly McEvers, and Embedded is back. And we recently realized it's hard to assess a politician who has virtually no political record. But with Donald Trump, we tried anyway. And we wound up with stories and lessons from the record he does have in business and on TV. Listen on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. We are all about musicians who ignore or break down barriers and genres. And we have been since we started the show over 7 years ago. So this week on Alt Latino, we're going to take a closer listen to jazz, but with a twist. Okay? We're listening right now to the music of Antonio Sanchez. He is a drummer with jazz guitarist Pat Metheny. But saying that only hints at his depth of creativity and imagination. And he joins us today from the Alt Latino New York City Bureau. Antonio, welcome to Alt Latino.
Thank you, Felix. Great to be here.
Okay, his new album is called Bad Hombre. And yes, he did. He did quote our current president and the disparaging comments he made during the campaign about Mexicans. It is indeed a political reference, and we'll talk about that. But it's also an amazing musical statement by a musician who I've been a fan of for a while. We're listening to the track called Home. We're going to listen to a little bit more of it, and then we're going to come back and talk about a bunch of stuff. So keep listening. Again, this is Home from Antonio Sanchez. That was the track Home from the album Bad Hombre from Antonio Sanchez. This album is music that is going to challenge you and going to make you think and going to make you enjoy as well at the same time. And that's what we're all about here in Alt Latino. And Antonio, before we get into the new album, let's talk about your musical history a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's start with the fact that you are from Mexico City. How did you get into jazz in Mexico City?
Yeah, I started playing drums when I was five, and that's because my mom, Susana, she's an avid music fan, and I used to listen to the same stuff she used to listen to, which was the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Cream, The Who, Led Zeppelin. She's a rocker at heart, and I was just listening to that all the time. And then a friend of the family was a drummer, and I ended up at his house for some reason, and then I saw the drum set, and I just kind of fell in love with it when I was five, and I never really looked back. I started taking lessons with him, and you know, it's been a beautiful romance ever since, me and the drum set. And then, you know, little by little, I started evolving into other kinds of music. I started listening to more Latin jazz, then some fusion, rock fusion. And slowly, I started getting more and more curious about what I could do on the instrument. And usually when that happens, you tend to go to jazz because that's where you can learn how to improvise and express yourself with no limits. So I think it's a normal progression to end up in jazz if you really want to do some research and some self-expression in your instrument.
Now, you came of age, I'm going to guess, just having seen you perform a couple times, that you came of age during a time when rock en español in the early 90s was taking off in all over Latin America and Argentina, and specifically in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. Now, were you tuned into that scene? Were you listening to those bands? Did it have an effect or any kind of influence on you as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't help it. You know, it was so big in Mexico during that time that especially bands from Spain, there was a lot of bands from Spain, from Argentina, like you mentioned, that started getting really big in Mexico. And, you know, I love some of them, like Soda Stereo, for example. I always thought they were great. And, you know, I guess subconsciously it had some kind of influence. But, you know, I stuck to a few things that I really liked. And the bands that I liked, you know, I give you that playlist and you'll notice the drummers are amazing. Mm-hmm. And, for example, Soda Stereo, I loved the compositions, and Gustavo Cerati, he was, an amazing songwriter, but the drum chair left a lot to be desired. I thought, man, if I could only be in that band, it would be so much better. But, you know, having said that, there was still a great band.
Okay, before we fast forward and come to talk to you about when you came to the United States and started studying music, let's play some of the tracks that you brought in as part of your guest DJ today. I had to smile when I saw it because it's a fascinating mix of classic rock. I'm not even going to use that. I'm tired of classic rock. It's rock and roll, man.
That's right.
Because that's my age, right? We're going to start with the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper. What made you choose this one?
You know, that's a seminal recording. That kind of changed history, I think, that recording. I was actually reading a very interesting book called Here, There, and Everywhere by the engineer that worked on those sessions. And, you know, I was kind of following the book and listening to the tracks, and it was fascinating. And I, this is one of the tracks, all the tracks I chose pretty much, I used to play along to, or at least tried. In my really, really early years, and the Beatles was one of my main and first influences. So this track I used to play along to all the time.
Ringo Starr, man.
That's right. A lot of people kind of criticize him because of how basic he played, but I mean, he was a perfect drummer for that band.
The more I learned about music, the more I began to appreciate the artistry of somebody like Ringo Starr, because he was like one of these four integral parts of this band that without just one part, it wouldn't be the same, including
exactly.
His drums.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he just blended so well with everything, personality-wise and music-wise.
The Beatles on Alt Latino, a first.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, now that we were listening to the track, I was like, man, that track sounds so good.
You know, it's just dynamically everything. And like you said, you know, Ringo Starr, especially as a drummer, it's the simple things. Like we get when we all appreciate the complexity and of different drumming, but that simple just holding the groove is what it's all about.
That's right. I mean, you know, I played along to so many of their tracks when I was growing up. And, you know, I learned to lay it down because of him, I think.
So this is what you were listening to when you were in Mexico City as a child or as a young drummer. Now, let's fast forward and your move to the United States. You came here to study at the Berklee School of Music in Boston, correct?
Yeah, that was in January of 1993, one of the worst winters in recent history, and it was a drag, man. I mean, me coming from Mexico, I've never even seen snow in my life, and you dropped me right in the middle of Boston. It was rough.
The track we're going to play next is a reflection of your jazz tastes. Tell us about this Miles Davis track.
Well, this is one of the tracks and albums that changed, you know, my whole perspective on drumming and music. This record, when I heard this record, it was My Funny Valentine 4 and More, which was a live record that the Miles Davis Quintet, I had no idea what they were doing, you know, but I knew there was something going on. Being able to try to find out through, you know, teachers at Berklee that would recommend these kinds of recordings to me, and then analyzing them, I started realizing the power of interplay in a jazz setting and how you can influence what everybody else is playing and how everybody else can influence what you're playing at any given moment.
This is the Miles Davis Quintet with the track, a live version of So What. Thank you. You are bringing nothing but firsts here. Well, no, wait. I was going to say that was the first time we played Miles Davis on All Latino, but I just remembered right now in this instant that Lila Downs, when she brought in a lot of jazz, when she did her guest DJ, and I know that she brought in Miles Davis.
At least there should be somebody before me that brought in Miles.
Let's talk a little bit about your time with Pat Metheny.
You know, I think it's one of those partnerships that you cannot really put your finger on it. It's just something happened right from the beginning that it was just comfortable. It felt like we've been playing for a long time. The way we play rhythm and the way we interplay is just, it was just so natural right from the get-go. You know, the way we feel time. I've always loved Proof from the first record I ever did with them, Speaking of Now. That was a very challenging recording because it was my first recording with them. And, you know, the Pat Metheny Group is a band that had a long history before I came in. So I had to kind of learn the syntax and the lexicon of what they were doing and then trying to put my own thing in there. So it was hard in the beginning. But this track I've always loved. It has a really cool driving force.
We are in the studio with Antonio Sanchez, and we're talking jazz, and we're also talking about his new record called Bad Hombre. Now let's move into the present. I wanted to put the new album into context for the folks who are not familiar with your music, so they understand where this sentiment is coming from. Why the name Bad Hombre, and how did that manifest itself in music?
Well, I'm from Mexico City. You know, I was born and raised there. I moved to the States when I was 21. So, you know, I feel Mexican first. I've been in the States for almost 25 years now. So, and I became an American citizen last year. So definitely, you know, I feel a part American too. But, you know, my formative years were in Mexico. So when Donald Trump started his candidacy, and the first thing he did is get on the mic and start saying that Mexicans were rapists and criminals and that they were not sending their best to the U.S. Of course, you know, that was a slap in the face to every Mexican and Latinos in general, too. So, you know, immediately I thought, man, this guy is getting nowhere. It's going nowhere. Nobody's going to you know, go along with this because it's outrageous. And then all of a sudden, he started getting stronger. And then I realized that he started getting stronger, not despite what he had done and what he had said, but because what he had said, that he was getting stronger. You know, this xenophobic, racist views that and rhetoric that he was using all the time, that's what was getting people going, you know, and it was really hard for me to swallow, and I think for a lot of Latinos as well. So I became obsessed with reading the news and just following everything that was going on, which, you know, I always was somewhat engaged politically speaking, but never like this, because this was like, you know, it felt personal almost. So I was harboring feelings of frustration and anger, and, you know, I was just not not feeling good about how things were going. In the meantime, I was already working on this project, and I didn't want to make a record where I would just be doing a bunch of drum solos and then and that's it, you know, because I always want to make records that I want to listen to repeatedly. And honestly, a bunch of drum solos, it's not the first thing I want to go and listen to. So I wanted to do something that would harness a lot of the things that I am, that I love. I've been listening to a lot of electronic music. This time I wanted to do something that I had never done, which was, okay, I'm gonna record hours and hours of drum improvisations. So I started editing all these drum improvisations and then adding layer upon layer of electronics. So to have one of the most visceral and, you know, arcane instruments, which is basically percussion, you know, with a completely electronic backdrop, then all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting. Then, if you tie it up to the whole Bad Hombre thing, I started realizing a lot of the feelings that I had been harboring were, you know, put into all these improvisations, because obviously improvisation is very subconscious. So then a lot of the sound of the record was very dark, and I started realizing a lot of it was coming from my anger and frustration about the current situation. So then, you know, I realized, okay, you know, Bad Hombre is really kind of tied to the Mexican thing. Then bad has a good connotation when you're talking about jazz. You know, when you say somebody's bad, it means that somebody's good. So I'm hoping people will think this is good. And then Hombre is singular. So this is 100%, you know, a solo album in the sense that I engineered it, I recorded it, I produced it, I played every instrument. I did everything, basically. So it had those three meanings. And it's a direct answer to Trump's phrase, we have some bad hombres here and we have to get them out. So basically my answer is like, okay, I'm maybe one of those bad hombres that you're talking about, but you know, there are Mexicans in this country that we contribute to society. We are good citizens. We pay probably more taxes than Trump does. We're here to stay. We're not going anywhere.
I think it's fascinating that your answer is strictly musical and without lyrics.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to lie, because when I decided to name it that, when, you know, Bad Hombre, I knew the question was going to come up all the time.
Sure.
You know, why? And I wanted people to ask me that because I have so much to say about it and about the current situation. And I think it's incredibly important for artists to speak up, and also artists are a reflection of life. So if you don't create art that is somehow related to what's going on or influenced by it, then you have your eyes closed and your ears are closed as well. So, you know, I think it's very important that we keep creating things that are current, and especially in times where there's social turmoil. You know, when the civil rights movement was taking place, there was so much stuff that was being created because of that. And I think this time kind of require musicians to also be conscious about that and create based on what's going on.
Let's play another track from your record, Bad Hombre. Which one do you want to play?
I think Momentum. So when I recorded this, I recorded without anything. I was just doing drums, and then I layered everything else after the fact.
You know, there's another track I want to play from your new record, and it has a fascinating story. It's the intro that you recorded. Tell us about this. We're going to play it in its entirety because it's so short, but it's powerful. Tell us the story behind this track. It's called Bad Hombre Intro.
Well, when the whole concept started coming together of the Bad Hombre kind of alter ego, I was thinking, you know, it would be great to open the album with something that is intrinsically and, you know, undeniably Mexican. So I thought, okay, a mariachi band would probably do that. But how do I incorporate a mariachi into what I'm doing? And what mariachi song speaks to me? And then all of a sudden, the light went on in my head, and I was like, wow, my grandfather, Ignacio López Tarso, who is, you know, arguably the most famous living and working actor at 92.
Wow.
In Mexico. I mean, he just opened, he's doing two theater plays simultaneously, 8 shows a week right now at 92.
Oh my God,
I just awesome. Came back from Mexico and I saw his newest one, and it's unbelievable. But anyway, I thought, you know, this could be amazing. You know, him, because he recorded a few LPs back in the day. So I had them and I started listening. And they started bringing, you know, all these corridos, which are the Mexican tales of the revolution. I started bringing so many memories when I used to go and listen to him live. And, you know, I was like, wow, man, it would be amazing if I could put one of these with this tune that I was already working on, but that was not really going anywhere. So it needed something, but I didn't know what. And then I grabbed one of the corridos, which is called Benito Canales, which I always loved. In the first place. So I superimposed the corrido on top of what I was already doing, and it turned out it was in the same key. The mariachi and the guitar were in the same key as what I had already been doing. So, I mean, it was like fate. You know, I heard that thing. I was like, man, this is perfect to start the record with. And then I showed it to him, and he was taking it back. He was like, wow, this is so interesting, you know, so original to hear his voice, and then my drums start creeping in, and then this bass line and the mariachi in the background, and I also added some like LP scratch in the beginning just to give it a little bit more of a vibe. So yeah, that's the story behind it. Oh, and also, by the way, at the end of the track I had Trump's voice saying, you know, that infamous quote that we're talking about, we have some bad hombres here and we have to get them out. But when the record company heard it, they said, we would probably prefer if you didn't use his voice because we're going to be selling the record. So if they find out you're profiting from his voice, there might be a problem. So I replaced it with my own voice, and I distorted my voice so it sounded really weird, like somebody that is trying to stay anonymous. And I'm answering basically his phrase, and I'm saying, we are the bad hombres, and we're not getting out.
Yeah, that's all you want to do is be able for him to get royalties from one of your recordings.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
This is the Bad Hombre Intro.
año de 1913 que pasó, murió Benito Canales. El gobierno lo mató. Andaba tienda por tienda buscando tinta y papel para escribirle una carta a su querida Isabel. Dijo Benito Canales saliendo de Villachuato: mejor veré a mi querida que se quedó en su cuarto.
Antonio Sanchez, man, that was brilliant. That was really cool.
That's fun to listen to. Every time I listen to it, I get a kick out of it.
We've run out of time, man. This went by very quickly, and we still have some more songs on his playlist that we will put on our website at npr.org/altlatino. Some very nice drumming from Rush and some electronic music from Hiatus Coyote. Antonio, thank you so much for bringing in the music that you brought in today and sharing your new record with us.
Thank you, Felix. It's been great talking to you and being given the chance to talk about it. Thank you.
Okay, and it only seems fitting that we go out on this song.
One, two, three, four.
This is how the Beatles end Sgt. Pepper, and that's how we're going to end the show.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you, Felix.
This has been Alt Latino. I want to remind you, you can hear all the songs and the songs we didn't get to in their entirety on our website, npr.org/altlatino. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. Antonio, where can we find you on social media?
On Twitter, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. It's not that hard.
Again, check out the album. It's called Bad Hombre. The artist Antonio Sanchez, again, thanks for coming. This has been Alt Latino. Thank you for listening.